We are back, and we are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, we have a team that had a game canceled due to COVID, a football team, and it's one of ours, the Division One, suddenly new Division One. St. Thomas had their game canceled against St. Francis of Illinois, and I don't think this is going to be the last time we hear of it for a local team either having to cancel or being canceled due to COVID. And it's too bad because I really want to get that D1 season going. It'll have to wait till next week at Michigan Tech.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, and it was an outbreak on the St. Francis side. It was not on the St. Thomas side. And it's not like the NFL where it's a forfeit. The game is just canceled and not made up. So the Tommies won't have that game, but they'll make their debut at noon this coming Saturday, the 11th, against Michigan Tech in Michigan. So, it's still kind of sinking in that we have two Division I football programs in town. It's kind of nice to have that.
Well, and the other one, they got the bad news about Muhammad Ibrahim, and he's gone for the season. And that team, watching it Thursday night against Ohio State, PJ Fleck's offense was completely built around Ibrahim, and he doesn't have or appear to have running backs who can step up and be anywhere near. And that's, I think, something cautionary for Vikings fans. That offense is going to be built around Dalvin Cook, and he's such a key player in it that if you lose him, I don't think the offense can perform at anywhere near the level, because there'll be an onslaught going after Kirk Cousins. Dalvin Cook keeps these defenses honest. There'll be no keeping them honest if he ever goes down, and he generally misses a game or two every year.
Yeah, and you know, and he said, you know, an ACL issue in his career as well. I mean, we've seen this going back to Adrian Peterson even too. When you base your offense around the running game, a particular runner, you know, in this day and age where defense is being so big and athletic, you know, these running backs, stuff pops, unfortunately.
Yeah, it does.
And it can mean your entire season. Fortunately for the player, medical science has gotten to the point where an ACL isn't
career threatening.
You know, exactly. But still, it's hard to look at the Gophers right now and say that their season isn't over. So,
no, it's going to be a rough road for them. Speaking of
plenty of room on the St. Thomas bandwagon if anybody wants to watch some D1 football. I mean, they're not going to be. Let's be honest. This is their first year in D1. It's going to take some time for that program to grow. They're not going to be heading into a bowl game this year, but it's going to be fun to watch them.
No, it could be much more troublesome for the Gophers. And speaking of troublesome, Governor Walz was making a little speech. Where is it, Alexandria?
Yes.
What happened with
Alexandria?
That?
Alexandria. He was having some sort of he was having some DFL celebration, probably some Labor Day thing. I don't know what it was. But, you know, we have this continuing controversy over the replacement of Line 3. You know, we're replacing an existing pipeline, and the environmentalists and the progressives and the squad was even in town, and they're all upset because, you know, it's 90%. The Minnesota portion of this pipeline is 90% done. They've lost all their court cases. So when you have nothing else, just show up and scream. And they did in Alexandria. And the protesters outnumbered the supporters of Walls there. And he just decided to hand the mic back and left. And so, you know, typical Tim Walz, right? I mean, he did this for his fishing opener up in Otter Tail County when there was going to be a planned protest. He cut and ran. When he was in the National Guard, when his guard unit was going to be deployed to Iraq, he cut and ran and left, you know, left the guard. So this is his MO. That's not leadership. That's cowardice. But that's not to be surprised by anything he does like in that front. But yeah, it was, as much as I support Line 3, it was fun to watch him. I applaud the protesters for chasing his butt off the stage.
You know, you mentioned this squad. To me, they have no credibility with me, because until one of them speaks out about the treatment of women in Afghanistan, which they haven't, that I know of, and they probably won't, they have no credibility. No. I mean, they're always talking that they're looking out for people, but they are afraid to go after Sharia law because several of them, I think, believe in it, like Rashida Tlaib, and I don't know where Ilhan Omar is, but I don't understand it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. They were in town on Friday, and I was actually Pete Stauber, congressman from the 8th District. I actually saw Pete on Friday. He was actually taking a tour of one of my client's facilities, and then he was but he was in between the counter protest against the squad. He was speaking out. I mean, think about this. You have these four Democrat members of Congress on Labor Day weekend arguing to get rid of 5,500 union jobs. Welcome to today's Democratic
ironic party. And I don't understand how Biden, and is it because it's not, when you say Biden, he's a shell. Somebody's is pulling the strings, and I'm guessing it's his chief of staff, Ron Klain, or somebody's pulling his strings. And the latest thing, and they're probably going to bury it in one of these trillion-dollar packages that they're trying to put together. It's out there, and if you check on social media, it's in the news that the Biden administration wants every one of our, yours, mine, everyone's, deposits of $600 or more into a bank account to be reported to the IRS. Now, many people who have direct deposit for work, it's likely going to exceed that, so every one of those will go to the IRS. Well, the IRS is going to know about that anyway. I mean, I don't feel I have anything to hide, but I also think it's a big intrusion, and I don't understand what this administration, everything they want to me, I'm going to certainly squint at, because everything they do seems to be a screw-up. And look what these two high-ups in the FDA quit last week because of this third booster shot. They're not endorsing it. So if these guys are concerned about it and Biden says it's good, I wouldn't get a third booster shot.
No. Well, and I'm hearing, too, that when you hear these numbers being rattled off about new COVID cases and amongst the vaccinated versus unvaccinated, many states are taking the position that if you don't have the third booster, you're essentially
not
unvaccinated.
Oh my God!
But the thing is that this is I don't think that they're going to stop at a third booster shot. They're going to need more. This is my criticism with the messaging on this thing. It's not, you know, when you think of vaccine, you know, when I grew up, I had. You had them too, Bobby, the mumps, measles, rubella vaccines. The intent, the belief is that you're not going to get them. That's why you get the vaccines, correct? But here, you can still get COVID. It just minimizes the symptoms. So this is really more like the flu shot.
It's not a vaccine.
It's not. And so why they chose to use that word, I don't know. Because if they should sell it as, hey, you still could get it, but this could minimize your symptoms, and then people can go out and if they can decide if they want it or not.
Absolutely.
But to turn it into this as being a vaccine, and then want to force people. I mean, seeing some of these countries, where they're like forcing people to do it. You know, you have police like arresting people, having their kids taken away. This is just insane. Whether you want to get vaccinated or not, nobody should be forced. Because think about this, Bob. What's next? You're going to decide that obesity is a problem, so now you're going to force employer. You know, if you're over a certain percentage body fat, that you somehow have to, you know, slim down to whatever. I don't think it's a good idea to start having the government or your employer, anybody involved in your medical history.
No, but that's where they're poking their noses. And again, if Biden wants it, I'm pretty much taking the stance. If he's in favor of it, I'm against it, because he has shown himself to be a buffoon when it came to Afghanistan. And you see the latest with the State Department taking credit for three or four Americans getting out of Afghanistan. State Department had nothing to do with it. It was some of these former SEALs and special forces guys who went in there and are trying to get people out because they're trying to help people who translated for them, and they want to do some good. They're the ones who got it out. And meanwhile, the Biden administration has taken a victory lap for it.
And someone suggested the reason that the Biden administration is not trying harder to get the rest of these folks out of there, that's, you know, the interpreters and some of the Afghanis who were friendly to the U.S. and the U.S. military, is because he knows that when they come over here and they get citizenship, they're going to be voting Republican. So he doesn't want them here. You know, he wants to cherry pick and try to get the refugees here that might, they can put on government benefits.
That's a very cynical view, but I hope that is not true. And speaking of cynical, I want to wrap up with this. Jennifer Carnahan, thinking of either running for this, what she left as the head of the Republican Party, running that thing, or running for governor. And I, Some people just don't know when it's time to walk away.
It's called narcissistic personality disorder, Bob, and she's seems to have fit all the criteria. I will say on the first front with what her statement about possibly running for chair again, if they didn't get some in this, you know, she got $38,000 of severance when she left.
They had to have a clause.
Because you didn't have 2/3 vote on the executive committee. She had too many of her sycophants on there to go to keep her on there that wouldn't have voted to remove her. That's what got her her money. But if they didn't have in there a covenant from her not to run for the position again, they need to not only be looking for a new chair, they need to be looking for a new legal counsel, because that would be horrible legal advice to yes. allow for the possibility that she could take money from the party and then come back and run for
a few months later
the chair again.
Absolutely absurd.
Yeah. And as for the governor thing, that's just delusional. I mean, I say go ahead and do it. Let's see her. Let's see what she does in a governor's race.
Maybe what she meant is she would run with Mike Lindell, who she endorsed over a year and a half ago and still hasn't backed off of that. All right, Jeff.
You know, if it was my spouse that had maybe 2 years to live that was had terminal cancer, I'd be focusing on spending as much time as I could with them, not figuring out what other office I could run for.
Absolutely. Jeff O'Brien, greatly appreciated. Jeff from Chestnut Cambrone.